Hello, hello, hello.
What up?
Welcome to The Plot Strikes Back. Bum, bum, bum. We are here today for a take two on the Fallout TV show.
Yes,
take series. Two. You might be thinking, wait a second, what do you mean take two? It was just something that, you know, we like to release quality reviews.
Sometimes you can't fix it in post. That's all we'll say.
Yeah. So, you know, we were like, you know, we kind of know what we talked about before, but there's been a lot that actually has happened in the previous weeks.
Yeah.
Which has been great. So it kind of adds more for us to talk about. And we'll obviously do a little bit more of a condensed version now that we've had more ample time to think about the whole series, talk about it with more people to hear their thoughts and whatnot. But
yeah,
It's been great, though, for the Fallout franchise since the show has premiered.
I mean, I've put in quite a bit of hours into Fallout since playing it again.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen it by now, so I don't think this episode would be spoilerific by any means.
I don't think so. At this point, if you haven't seen it, you've probably heard about it or seen something about it.
Yeah.
Whether that be a spoiler or not, spoilers ahead anyway.
Yeah,
because you haven't seen it.
Be forewarned. So I think for the whole entire franchise, you don't even have to have played all the games to really understand what's going on, and especially like if you're not a gamer.
Honestly, you don't have to play any of the games.
Yeah, yeah, which is great because it's like I don't know what's going on. Like they do a pretty decent job in the show itself to really portray the setting, the scenery, the characters, the type of people that are involved, and the technology, or just the literal like time itself, like the decade that we're in the 50s.
Yep.
So it all takes place in the United States, and the reason why I say that is because we've recently gotten some news from the creator himself stating that Todd Howard. So he stated that there will be two new Fallout projects, talking about the franchise's runway to the future. But on top of that, he stated that it's going to stay in the United States. The series will remain set in the U.S., and you pointed out that
Voltec was an American made company.
Yeah. Made in America.
Yep. So, which explains why every single vault is just like dark and terrible and awful. So it's like, are you really safe in the vault or are you safer in the bomb filled wasteland? We don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing Fallout related that's ever been done outside of the country was a mod. That was done, I think it was Fallout 4, where you could get a mod where you could be in, I think it's London.
Yeah, it's the UK.
Yeah, and it was like a pretty spot-on reference point and map
that.
And everything. But, America.
America. And I think one of the cool things, too, about this show is the music.
Oh, dude, the music is...
The soundtrack? Phenomenal.
Incredible.
Yeah.
They nailed the entire vibe of what it's like to play the game.
Yeah.
Like the music when you're walking, so you can play the music on the Pip-Boy.
Yep.
Dude, the music is so good. I've actually been listening to a few of the songs.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Shouts out to Johnny Cash.
The official soundtrack.
And the Ink Spots.
Yeah. It's a lot of old bangers out there on that soundtrack, which is great. And as we've talked about before on this podcast show, when you've got a film or a TV series that has a great soundtrack, it just adds to the effect of what you're watching. And obviously with a show like this that is being taken from and adapted from a video game series, the fact that they kind of kept true to it and they stayed in that vibe, that setting is great, because I think because of the success that this show has had, it definitely states that it can be done well and that fans can be pleased to it, and it could even attract new fans, because not just for the fact that they did a lot of things true to the whole franchise itself, i.e. the source material.
Yeah.
But they still, you know, allowed you to be fresh to the story, to the whole IP, and then be like welcomed in terms of like understanding where everything is, and again, like how it takes place, what happens, and like what the plot is, what the risks are that these people are facing, you know?
Yeah.
Unlike other series that I think that have been taken from video game franchises, like, you know, they've tried the Resident Evil. They did movies on that, which, you know, were mediocre at best.
I remember seeing one of them.
I think it was the first one that was the...
Yeah, which was the only... Which was the best one, I think. And then the third one I remember is the desert in Vegas.
Yeah, with and the Nemesis.
And then I don't remember anything else after that. And I barely remember those movies. I don't even know what happens. I remember one has a big one with no face.
Yeah,
with
like a
bunch of teeth.
Yeah, nah, and Nemesis. A giant
Gatling gun.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that, whatever that one was in. But yeah.
Another show that was taken from a TV series.
Was taken from a TV series?
Oh, sorry, another show has been taken from a video game.
Oh.
And failed miserably is Halo.
Yeah.
And yeah. Halo being one of the biggest IP franchises for the last, you know, over 20 years now, it's just been, it's an atrocity to anyone who knows even just an inkling about the games.
As someone who doesn't know anything about Halo, never played it. I think I played it once. I remember Purple Gun.
Yeah.
But like, I don't remember anything else. I never watched the series, but I feel bad for all of you Halo fans out there.
Oh yeah.
That had to, unfortunately, not have one of their favorite games get absolutely nailed in a first season like Fallout.
Man.
So that sucks. But Last of Us was a good one.
I
don't think it nailed that what it's like to play the game, because the game was absolutely scary and terrifying.
Right.
But it was good, I guess. It was pretty good. It was all right.
I think they could have toned up.
Dude, give me the horror.
Darkness and the horror.
Yeah, man. Yeah. There was that one episode where like the ground caves in and they all, that was scary. That was when it was
four,
like,
or five or whatever.
Yeah.
When the Hulk one comes out.
It was four. You're right.
Four. That's when
the blob.
The blob one comes out. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. There's an ambush when they're going after Joel in the house. Right. Oh man.
But yeah, for the most part, it's been so hit or miss with.
It really is.
TV.
And again, I think between Fallout and The Last of Us, again, and it's not rocket science, you know. You have something that's already created, and again, you want to make it presentable so that it's not something that, you know, for those people out there that have not seen or, you know, play the video game, and they go, well, I don't want to watch it because it's based off a video game. I don't play video games. No, that's fine, because even though it is taken from a video game, it's done exceedingly well. So you can kind of know what we went through and like why we're so thrilled. It's a great series.
Yeah.
And Amazon just came out with a report saying it's like the second most watched thing that they have 2 weeks later after premiering.
Oh, nice.
Which is second to, I don't know how.
The Boys?
No. Another failed
Rings of adaptation. Power.
Yeah.
Really? I wonder if that's because those first three episodes dropped all at once.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of views.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people are looking at statistically, like saying, oh, wait. Are you talking about the whole series of Rings of Power or just those initial three episodes when they dropped? Like everyone was like, oh my God, we got to check it out. And then when everyone watched them, they were like, wait a second. This is not J.R.R. Tolkien's work. Mm-hmm. This is not Christopher Tolkien's work. This is an abomination, you know, and has since then obviously, you know, derailed in such a egregious way that I think, not to go on a small rant here, but I think when Rings of Power season 2 drops, there's going to be a lot of negative press out there. Whereas when Fallout season 2 comes, that's going to be another success.
Let me binge it though. Don't do the weekly. Keep it going.
I think that was one of the things that a lot of people appreciated, was like, I can just watch this all at once.
It's because I could, like, I think I started with like watching the first two episodes.
Yeah.
And then I watched one another day. And,
yep.
You know.
Yep. Yeah. I watched like the first one that Friday night and then watched like a couple over the weekend. And then I think by the time we originally recorded, like on a, like the following Thursday,
yeah,
we watched the finale together. Yep. So we basically watched seven episodes within, or maybe I guess we'll say eight,
about
within a week. You know, which is fine, and I think that's a great way to split things up so you aren't binging it over a day or two, and you're not waiting, you know, 6 to 8 weeks depending on the length of the season and you know what they decide to drop, like they drop in one episode, two or three at a time, like Amazon's done
all eight.
Yeah,
We're at it, give me 12 episodes.
Yeah, minimum ten. As we've prefaced before and
on many episodes of this podcast, I think minimum.
But I think with the show like this and an IP like this, that's achievable.
Yeah, it is, because there's so much you can do.
Yeah,
if we got even one more episode of Fallout season one,
yeah,
it would have made it that much better. I think.
I think so too. I think there are some things missing, obviously in retrospect.
Yeah,
that it wouldn't have derailed anything that has happened so far through those eight episodes, but I think would have been a little bit more world building. And I'm sure, yes, they're probably waiting until season two to release them. But again, you apply the same scope, 9 to 10 episodes for season two, and you know, maybe have a third season. I guess it really depends on where they go, right? Like, it's, you know, again, spoiler. So season one ends with Lucy's father, Hank McClane, in the T-60 armor. Like, you know, no helmet, but he's walking in the desert. And in the horizon, we see New Vegas, which is a video game from Fallout.
I would say it is the most liked overall Fallout game.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes, I think so too.
You know, 76 has grown on me though. Now that until I just got killed by aliens last time I played it, I won't dive into details.
Yeah, I actually just, and that's a cool thing, you know, because of the success. Amazon, as an example, I got an email from Amazon saying, "Hey, by the way, since you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, here's Fallout 3, 4, and 76 for free. Just download it on the Microsoft Store." And I was like,
nice.
What?
You download them?
Yeah.
Nice. I wish it was cross-platform, but 76 is growing. It's okay. It's growing. It's different.
Yeah.
But Fallout 4 is my favorite Fallout.
76 is the one I've played the least, so that's the one I want to go back and play.
They've made lots of improvements. It's actually playable.
That's what I've heard, yeah. I mean, I know you and a few other people, so like I actually might play some tonight.
I'm gonna try to play some tonight.
But again, that's the cool thing. Like so many people have been buying the Fallout games now, and they've been on sale on, like, yeah, you know, their respective platforms, whether it's, you know, through Xbox, PlayStation, or Steam, you know, for a computer. Like, they've been on sale, and you know, we've seen like a million players, you know, download and or millions of players playing the game, basically, you know. And that's because of people going back to play it, or people that have never played it before go, I love the show, now I want to play the game. And that's the great thing about it, where it inspires the revisitation. And again, I wish, you know, I wish, you know, with other franchises the same thing would have taken effect, like with Halo, or, you know, I guess I'll say Resident Evil, but I know a lot of people like the RE franchise too. But
the what franchise?
RE, Resident Evil. I just abbreviated.
Okay. Sorry. I don't get your gamer terms.
Yeah, I know. The gamer acronyms nerd. coming in full. Nerd. As far as the cast goes, I liked everyone. I think acting all around was well done.
Yes.
There were a lot of guests, which I think, did you have a favorite guest? I think I originally said that my favorite guest was Cyril.
Oh yeah. From the
from Archer. But he was in Bunker or Vault 4.
Vault 4. Mine was Oh God, Fred Armisen. That was my favorite one. Oh yeah, because the
Armisen one was great too.
He just played himself, and it was hilarious because I love Portlandia.
Yeah, as soon as I saw Chris Parnell with his Cyclops eye, and I'm like, oh my God,
because I saw him in the trailer in one of the trailers, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, which was a bit of a spoiler for them to do that.
Yeah, but I was wondering when they would show him. Yeah, so it was nice to see him towards the end. But yeah, well, yeah. He was
Matt Berry.
Oh my God,
Matt Berry was also really good.
He's the voice of
Mr. Handy. Snip, 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 snip.
Mr. Yeah. Handy. Yeah, I want to say Codsworth, but Codsworth is from Fallout 4.
Yes. Yeah, it was honestly really cool for them to include so many guests, and then. You know, you've got a pretty strong recurring cast, and then you know your main cast between Ella Purnell, who actually is British.
Yes,
I didn't know that till after the fact, but that's cool.
She was so good.
She had a great accent.
Okie dokie.
And then she says she had a great. I forget what it is. Is it a linguistic coach or
I would think so.
Or maybe
I wouldn't say a vernacular, but I would say linguistic.
Voice acting, something along those lines.
Some kind of coach.
Yeah, yeah. In order for her to do that, which makes sense in like the Hollywood industry. But we've got Kyle MacLachlan, who plays Hank Lucy's father.
Yes, he's a good actor.
We've got Moises Arias, who plays Norm MacLean, which is Lucy's younger brother. Who he was on the Hannah Montana show.
Yeah, he was on some Disney show when he was a kid. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because I remember him, Diego, I think was the
character. Yeah, I think so. And then we've got Aaron Mullen, who plays Maximus. And Maximus is probably one of the most controversial characters in the show that I know a lot of people always mention.
Yeah.
You know? And we'll get into characters here in a second, but I think the star of the show is none other than the ghoul.
Dude.
Cooper Howard, played by Walton Goggins.
Dude, he was so good.
Amazing.
Yeah, and each episode, the depth of his character, like, tripled.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, damn, dude, what happened? How did we get here?
Yeah. I love the character development for really all three characters, and I think the ghouls, meaning you know Walton's character, was the most unique, and because there was so much mystery, you're like, I want to see more of this. Like it just made you desire more, because then you see how he is and you're like, what caused him to get to that point? And they start teasing you, they start giving you like a little breadcrumb trail. You know, but you're like, no, I've had the teaser already. Like, I want the main course. I want to see the meat and the potatoes of why he is this way. Like, what caused it? And again, like, you start to see the things that he gets involved with, that they, you know, mimic the Pip-Boy thumbs up off of him. Yep. And just how he basically becomes the ambassador for Vault-Tec. And then, ironically, his wife is a main actor for Vault-Tec. She's a main character for Vault-Tec and has a lot of importance and works with a lot of high tech technology for them, and obviously has things that she can't even tell her own husband. And
sus.
Right, which is a little interesting. And then you've got another character who is played by Sarita Choudhury, who plays Lee Moldaver. And I like her character too, even though she's more of a minor character. They make it seem like she's the villain.
Yeah.
And you see her in a flashback episode and you're like, nah, she definitely a villain.
Yeah, I remember seeing that because they end it at episode six with that.
In the flashback.
And you're like, she's 200 years old too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's one of the most intriguing things, because you see what year it is when it starts, and obviously at the very beginning of the show, when the nukes start going off, you're like,
awesome.
That is awesome, but just horrific.
There's so many going off. Yeah,
you think it's just one
terrifying
in the background off of the reflection of this, you know, glass window, But there's then it was like a second one and a third one and a fourth one and a fifth one and it just keeps going on and on.
And that's only in LA.
Yeah. Which it's a weird perspective, but when if you watch the movie War Games with Matthew Broderick, right?
Yeah, from the '80s.
Yeah. And it's let's play a game and the game is thermonuclear war. And then when the AI's like shows you all these missile points that are going to all the places, and you kind of think to wonder how many would it actually take to kind of wipe out civilization
as a whole.
Yeah,
well, in the Fallout universe it took 2 hours,
which is right. Yeah, which to think about how many nukes have to go off in 2 hours.
And ironically, I believe it started between China and the US.
I think so too. if I remember correctly, which you know, again, a lot of people fear for real life to happen, but that's sort of one of the things where I was like, hey, don't go make an AI because what's going to happen? We already saw what
Terminator.
Happened. We saw James Cameron do that for 2 movies. We saw iRobot with Will Smith. We've seen The Matrix.
Age of Ultron.
Like it's been, there are plenty of renditions that give us fair warning. And then with this game literally called Fallout, which is from what? Nuclear Fallout. You don't want to get into it because it's like, who said it? Albert Einstein, you know, with Oppenheimer, that could be the end.
I don't know what World War III will be fought with, but WW4 will be fought with sticks and rocks.
Yeah. And we get a little bit more than sticks and rocks in Fallout 4 here, but that's because at least there was some sort of well-kept technology or some, you know, again, these, what do you call them? Fail safes.
Yeah.
That were taken into account. And because of that, they were able to preserve some things underground and on the surface.
Ironically, for the world ending in 2 hours, there was a lot that was saved.
Yeah.
Like the former army became the Brotherhood of Steel. The former government became the Enclave, I think.
Yeah.
Vault-Tec was Vault-Tec, and then I can't remember, like, there was, like, RobeCorp and, like, all these other corporations that's, like, Nuka-Cola, like...
Yeah. And that's just in the United States, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's intriguing that we don't really know a lot about what happened elsewhere around the world. And again, that makes it exciting where maybe with one of these two new, you know, teased spin-offs that
I would love to see everything like before the bombs, because like there's stuff like where they annex, like the US annex Mexico and Canada, like China invades Alaska. Like it's really interesting.
There's a couple locations that I would like a Fallout game to maybe
If you could pick the next Fallout location,
yeah,
where would you go?
Japan.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I would really want to see
my other thing would be like somewhere in Europe, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Europe would be cool.
Like, you know, like with the mod that already took place, you know, for Fallout 4, you could do a UK one, but yeah. I think you could also do, again, like various parts of Europe, you know. Again, it really kind of depends on how, if it's a show, where they want to go. If it's a game, you know, how big do they want to make the map?
I think up north would be like, I'm not going to say Canada, but like Montana.
That'd be interesting,
you know.
Yeah, so if it's still within.
Just a different, because they've done California for Fallout 1, 2 in the show.
Yeah.
DC Vegas. Was 3.
Yeah, 3.
4 was Boston.
To be honest, I would love to see a Florida Fallout.
Dude, Florida. Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know.
Who knows what would survive.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, could you imagine? Some
mutated gators is the final boss.
Dude, mutated flamingos. Gators. Oh, yeah. I mean, think about all like the types of creatures that exist here in Florida.
That'd be awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be nuts. Like the Everglades would probably be like one of the most dangerous places in the entire world.
Yes. Oh my God. That would be amazing.
The snakes.
Bethesda, man. If you're listening, Fish, Fallout 5, birds. Florida, a little tropical climate.
It just has a nice ring to it. Fallout 5 Florida.
Fallout Florida.
Look at that that alliteration right there, man.
F cubed.
just we're throwing bangers out here Todd. Just tune in.
Listen to us.
Follow on Twitter. Thanks. Or follow on X, you know.
Yeah,
hit as well. Up. At Plot Strikes Back.
No the.
I'd say too with this show that they do very well, since we've mentioned it already, are the flashbacks.
Yeah.
You know, consistently and like cutting in places that make sense for what's happening in the present, which is, you know, 239 years later, like, wait, yep. Or 229, forget.
29.
It's like, wait, so what happened almost 230 years ago? Like, you know, how did they live this long? You know, and it's like, well, I'm glad you asked.
You know? It's like, you get a chance to breathe, we're going to hit you with a flashback.
Yep. Yep.
It was done very, very good.
Yes, definitely, definitely very, very well done. The writing for the characters, the character development for our main cast is very well done. The minor characters, I think, were well utilized. I think again, not giving us everything all at once from the flashbacks, but also the build up to the finale.
That was that was a lot.
Because before you and I watched the finale, we kind of talked about what we might think that will happen, and I called one thing.
Yes, you did. That happened. And I didn't, it's not that I didn't want to believe it, but it's like, that's too kind of on the nose. But they did such a good job, like, doing it. It's like, when they do kind of reveal that thing that we're about to say in a minute.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, damn, dude. And then you really feel for her a lot.
Yes. So in the finale, when Lucy is on this path to try and find her father, and she does because she realizes that Moldaver was holding him captive, because when they invade the vault 33, right? Like, she's like, why are you taking him? And of course we don't know why.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's because he's the, you know, head counsel, you know, the councilman or governing council or whatever. So like, he's got a, you know, they want him because of that. And come to find out, there's a lot more dirt than what
there's more than what meets the eye.
Yes. And when you first see her, by her, I mean Moldaver, there's this ghoul that's next to her that's like handcuffed to a chair or whatever. And I was like, basically what I call that was that was Lucy's mother. And the whole point of her keeping her alive was so that Lucy could basically reveal the truth and the evidence that her father is a liar.
Yep.
And is responsible for basically all of this. And that Moldaver tried to stop it, tried to warn, you know, the right people, and tried to basically have, you know, a resistance, some sort of rebellion.
Yep.
And basically did not win against the Empire.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess how she explained it was Lucy's mom, which I can't remember her name, found out that water from the vault was being siphoned out. So yeah. She made her way to the surface. And when she did that, she started a whole new life out there.
Yep.
Pretty much. And then Hank was the one to be like, well, nope, not going to happen. And then somehow nuked Shady Sands.
Yep.
And which is canon.
Yes, it is.
So nuked Shady Sands, and you're like, wait.
Yeah, it is definitely an interesting point in the story, because at that point Maximus is there, and you know, he had initially freed Hank from the little prison.
The little cage,
the bird cage. And you know, there's, I guess I'll say the underlying plot too is the, I can't think of the guy's name, but Lucy was carrying his head
the scientist,
yeah, the glasses,
the kraut.
Yeah.
Is that offensive?
I mean, I guess at that time it wouldn't have been, you know.
That's fair. If there's any German listeners out there, I'm sorry.
I guess he wasn't a bad German scientist.
No, he was a good guy. Too. And yeah.
He was trying to do the right thing.
He was with dog meat. You know, he's like a good old boy.
Good old boy.
Good old boy.
So he has an implant in his head.
Cold fusion.
Cold fusion.
Yep.
And just the good that it can do and that you kind of see it already starting to do.
It lights up LA at the end.
Yeah.
And you're like.
Yeah. You're like, this is. Cold fusion is the way to the future that can help society recover from nuclear fallout.
Which she was actually, her character was working on before her company was bought by Vault-Tec.
Yep.
In the 2077s or whenever. 2077 was when the bombs dropped.
Yeah. So it's really interesting how they kind of connect the dots. You know, again, well written.
God, there's just so much you can do with the universe of Fallout, and it's just amazing that we got a TV show that was awesome.
Yes, indeed.
Just not long enough.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it was pretty good because, you know, I think the shortest episode was 45 minutes, and then the longest one was,
over an hour, little bit, about like 60-something minutes.
Yeah, like hour and five of actual time, not like
real credits. Television.
Yeah. Not like there's 10 minutes of credits. Great. Thanks for nothing. I hate that so much. Look, not to say that people that work on things aren't
important,
because they obviously have to be listed because they help make the show or the movie.
Just don't factor into the runtime of the movie.
Right. Exactly.
Keep it out.
Yeah. Or just make it go quicker. I don't know.
Yeah.
Speed it up.
Especially once you start doing everything in the different languages.
Oh yeah, that takes forever. Which I feel like that should only be specific to your region.
Or what you can do is Netflix does it. Where like it does the credits and then it goes to a different thing and it just goes away.
Yeah. I agree. Something like that. Saving the one character for last with Maximus.
This guy, dude. You know, I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law
about him. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're both huge Fallout fans. I was like, dude, awesome, right? He goes, dude, so sick. I was like, what do you think of Maximus? He goes, oh, dude, I hated him. I go, same.
I think it's funny how he's probably the most controversial character. And in my take, too, before we even watched the finale was, it's not that I don't hate him, but it's not that I like him either. Because I think he was probably the character that is dealing with the most complex issues. Like,
yes,
like
he's definitely the most complex character.
Like, like the ghoul, he's on a path for revenge and is looking for his family. Lucy is sweet and innocent, but is having this wake up call to how
the world really works.
And it's like the ghoul says,
I'm you, just wait.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, and as she realizes it, especially at the end, she's like, okie dokie. Like, I'm going to follow the goal now. That's my path in life.
Fallout.
Moldover has just opened my eyes to my entire existence. The last.
Poor Norm,
you know, dude. 230 plus years because of, like, and I mean plus because of when Vault-Tec first was created and kind of like their whole sort of, you know, their ploy the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when he had a listening device and he listened to his wife, he would have, you know, we dropped the bombs. Well,
pretty sure they did.
That's domestic terrorism. Yeah. I think a lot of people believe that. And I feel like it was I always thought this, that they initiated the bombs first and then blamed China.
And which would cause their retaliation.
Right.
I can see it. Because I know at one point before the bombs actually dropped, there was escalation in the Middle East, I think.
Yeah.
And over there. So,
yeah.
I can see Vault-Tec doing it.
Yeah, Vault-Tec, they're not good guys at all. They're not good peeps.
No, not at all.
But with Maximus, though, you know, he survived from Shady Sands. And then, you know, after he's already released Hank from the cage, as we were saying, he then realizes from Lucy, like, he caused the nukes to happen in Shitty Sands, and is like, wait, what? And he, you know, has this huge flip out, this epiphany moment of like, just, wait, what just happened? You know, you did what? You're the reason for everything going to hell and back, literally. So yeah. Unfortunately, he gets knocked out because while he's distracted, Hank steals the T-60.
From some Brotherhood of Steel guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, that was not good. And, you know, he wakes up after...
Poor Maximus.
Yeah, after Lucy's gone.
But can you imagine that? Hey, come back. Like, we're going to go back to my vault. You're going to get that life that you got a taste of.
She was loving it.
She was loving it. He was loving it. Gets knocked out. Kisses him goodbye. Wake up. She's gone. Have no idea. Because the only reason for Maximus going back to the wasteland was to find Lucy and run away.
Right.
So now it's like that one person, that one thing you were looking to is gone. And you don't know what the heck happened. What do you do? Would you go after? At that point, I would.
Yeah, no, I would
too. I would venture off and go after.
I would too. Because, what was it? His buddy Dane was like, he saved the day. He shot Moldover. He and he's like, I didn't though. And then, you know, Dane had already sort of started chanting his name.
Jump the gun.
And then everyone else kind of came in the room and was like, Maximus, Maximus, Maximus. And then he kind of turned around and had this, like, you know, grin on his face. Because that was, that's one of the things where you see... from where he is, you know, obviously, you know where he came from. He came from, Shady Sands in a refrigerator, similar to, Indiana Jones 4, where he survives in a refrigerator. So, cause I guess they don't make refrigerators anymore like they used to.
Well, they don't,
you know, for sure.
People used to actually get trapped in them, Nick. So
yeah, I know. It's probably a good thing.
50s were a weird time.
That's for sure. But for the sake of him, you know, wanting to be in the Brotherhood, seeing the T-60, wanted to be a knight, but literally getting pooped on while he's, you know, with the Brotherhood, he's having to clean up, you know, the piles of crap, literally, you know, and he gets frustrated, right? He like breaks the seat on like one part. He's like yelling,
yep,
you know, and then Dane has a weird experience where there's a razor blade in the boot.
He put razor blades in his own boots because he didn't want to go out on the mission, and then everyone blamed Maximus anyway.
Yeah.
So poor guy can't catch a break, honestly.
Yeah, he's getting blamed for stuff he didn't do, and then he's being put on missions, and then he's having to, you know, be a squire, and then, you know, and then again, I think this is where the complexity of his character comes in, which again, I can see why people don't like him. Because he does have this weird, dishonest quality to him where he lies a lot. But he's also lying to himself, which I think is more hurtful than him lying to other people. Because it's like he does have some sort of reason behind it. Like when Titus, Knight Titus, right, he dies, well... Titus screwed up in the first place because of the mutated bear.
Yeah.
Like I was like, that's not on Maximus's fault. And honestly, I don't blame Maximus for letting him die.
I don't either.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this guy's an ass. Go ahead and die. I don't care, you know? Because then it's like, well, I'm not going to let this suit, you know, lie around for scavengers to come, because we see that happen. And then we see a gruesome part where Maximus literally, you know, crushes a guy's head with the suit.
Yep, with the armored suit.
With the armored suit, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, that's insane. But there again, he has to get in the suit to protect it, because that would also look bad on him from the Brotherhood. Like, you let them take over our suit, like, you know, and they probably would have executed him for that alone.
Yep, probably. So, they're brutal.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So for the fact that he's like, I can't let our weaponry fall into the wrong hands, that was like a good, you know, pros and cons. Like, I was like, okay, that's a pro for him. But then who was it that Thaddeus? So when the Brotherhood's like, oh wait, oh, Maximus is dead. We'll send you a new squire. And he's like, oh, no, 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 negative, negative. We don't, I don't need one. And they send one anyway. And then you hear the conversation between Thaddeus and Maximus. And he's like, oh, I don't want to, when Thaddeus is like, I don't want to talk about the guy because he's dead. He's like, say, you know, because he's saying nice things about Maximus, right?
Yeah.
But then Maximus is like, we'll say something bad about him. He's like, I don't know. I kind of just felt bad for him because, you know, Thaddeus is saying when he first arrived at camp, he was the one that got picked on. And then once Maximus was new, they picked on him instead. And he felt bad for that. And, you know, and I know for a fact that, you know, that kind of destroyed. And I mean, only because Maximus showed that it was like he had no self-confidence. He had no self-esteem or like belief in his own name.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where it's like, you know, don't call me Maximus. It's like, I'm, you know, Titus. And until he reveals himself to Thaddeus, and Thaddeus takes out the core,
the fusion core,
the fusion core from the suit and leaves him to die. Yeah. You know, it was literally left for dead until Lucy comes and saves Maximus. And Maximus is, you know, seemingly in her debt and helps her out in lieu of like having his own little agenda.
Yeah.
But I think it's because of her qualities that it's like they're a good fit, weirdly enough, for each other. And I think that's one of the interesting things, because she's such a pure person that even though he has issues, like her good qualities are like rubbing off on him. And obviously like he follows her and helps her, right, to get the head, to go to this vault, and you know, he loves it there. But then when she's in trouble at the vault, he's like, oh, wait a second, she's in trouble? Because if he didn't see her pass by the window and rescue her, well, she would have
probably just left without him.
Yeah, like just been like, okay, well, bye. And so it would have been worse for her at that point, because now she's back on the surface by herself.
Yep.
So I think in some cases, again, like we're talking about, like he's a little bit of a coward sometimes, but he does step up to the plate every now and then. And so it's like, man, like he's so wishy-washy. And so that's where I'm like, I don't love him, but I don't hate him either.
Hate him.
You know, but again, I think there are things I don't like about him, but
it's the way he handled the whole thing. Cause let's be real. It's a lose-lose situation.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. Right? Like he's,
but there were, I think two, maybe three times where he could have been, yeah, my name is Maximus. That's all.
Yeah, I could see that. And I mean, to me, I didn't care that he didn't tell her his actual name, because she even says, I just threw acid in a guy's face and I didn't even know him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, so she basically blinded or killed a guy.
I can see
and
both sides.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's like, I don't. Again, I don't hate him. I'm very neutral to his character, but I like his pros and cons, because it's like it's weird. It's sort of like if you were to make friends with this guy and you weren't really like maybe in his good graces, or like, you know, it could be better or worse for you as an individual. Like he might help you out or he might screw you over. So you're warned about interacting with Max here.
Yeah.
So, and again, he's like, I want to help her. I want to, you know, get away. This is our moment to flee, blah, blah, blah. And now he's sort of stuck, because it's like, he wants to leave with Lucy, but he also wants to be like this knight in shining armor, pun intended, because of the T-60. And now like people are chanting his name, right? The Brotherhood has now seen him, whereas before he was just a piece of crap on the bottom of their boot.
Yeah.
You know, so
just some low level janitor.
Yeah, he was a grunt, yep. Right? And forever a grunt. A squaw, you got upgraded to a squire, you know. So
psych.
But it turns out, you know, it shows that he can hold his own, but
he can.
But on that note, can we just talk briefly about the little shootout between the knights and the ghoul? Where he's like, now, I worked on some team models before. He's like, there used to be an issue with the stomach plating. And he's like, which I don't know if they fixed over the years, so let's find out. And he just shoots him like, straight in the stomach and like drops that knight.
The gun he's using are like these, they look like mini nukes.
They look like high-powered revolver like shells.
They're like the size of a, I don't even know. They they're this big.
They remind me of the mortar fireworks.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're huge. And he shoots one. It explodes in under the armor suit. And he goes, well, guess they didn't.
Yep.
And then he proceeds to cut the power out and just take them all out.
Yeah. He goes on a killing spree, which is great. Because it was dark. You see the flashing moments, all that kind of stuff. Oof. So, yeah. Definitely a great scene. Was there anything else you... Because I can honestly say, I think if I speak for the both of us, we enjoyed a lot of the show.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other side, was there anything in particular that you did not like about the show? Running time and episodes aside.
I'm glad you asked. We didn't get a Deathclaw until the last frame, and it's some skull. Man, that thing has killed me so many times in all these games. And to see it on screen would have been so cool. And then we see a skull.
Yeah, I think
they... And I'm like, son of a...
I think they confirmed that it's coming in season two.
Yeah, I think they did. Because I saw something that said season two is going to take place in New Vegas.
Yeah.
Which will be sick.
But again, depending on how many seasons they want to do, they could... You know, stick around in that area, that region, or you know, do something else, kind of
something different,
some new, some yeah. They could kind of continue on.
Well, the thing they can do every two seasons or every season, they can do a different vault, and you can just tell all these different stories. You know,
yeah,
as long as the story's there.
Yeah,
but the only other thing I didn't like is. And it's not even a real dislike. I wanted more. Like for example, I wanted to know more of Vault 31. I wanted to know why they were all, you know, frozen. Poor Norm.
Bud
was just the brain. Right.
Bud was the brain.
Who we met in before the bombs dropped.
And the flashbacks, yes.
So you find out just all this just dark stuff about Vault Tech and what they did, but it's like we only get a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's enough. I'll admit it's enough. But
I'll say for the sake of like the writing that was on Vault 32, right? We know what's behind the door, we know what you're hiding. And then the same thing in Vault 4, right?
Yeah.
There's these mutations, there's like experimentations that are happening, so it would be kind of cool to explain or go into other vaults because I don't think they've announced. There was never a moment in the games either that said how many vaults there were across America either, right?
In the show, they said how many.
Did they?
It was like 150 something, 152 maybe.
Okay, maybe.
I could be wrong.
Did, yeah.
But yeah, it's in that because the map behind them lights up with all the vault locations. Yeah, yeah. And there was one in Orlando.
Was there? All right, so we're good.
Make it Vault 69.
My God.
Good classic humor.
Yes, and yeah, yes, indeed.
What about you? Anything you disliked? Because honestly, God, I didn't really dislike that much. Just like, I want more.
Yeah. I don't want to say that there's anything that... I think, again... The amount of episodes and like running time aside to use that as a dislike reason, I think if they would have just given us more for, let's say, again, maybe more flashbacks, maybe alluding to a couple different things.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting is that you don't really know he's after his the ghoul's after his family until the last episode when he goes,
"Where's my family?
Little Hank McClane. Is that you?"
Yeah.
200 years later.
Still want my autograph.
After he grazes his face with a bullet.
Yeah.
You know, he says that line. He goes, "Where's..." He's like, "I've been waiting 200 years to ask this question. Where the fuck's my family?"
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, man. And then he's just like, what's the line he says? He goes, "War never changes."
Something like that.
Something like that. And then he's like, "Well, you coming?" And then that's when it embarks on a new journey. But yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Definitely awesome to kind of just, you know, for us to get a show like this, period. And I haven't really seen a lot of people that have disliked it, but, you know, get to each their own.
I mean, saw one guy, he's like basically saying, if there's been nuclear war, mm-hmm. and this is 200 years later, how does the Brotherhood of Steel have all this advanced machinery? Well, easy. They had it before the bombs dropped.
Yeah.
And their only purpose is to go out into the world, recover all of the stuff that they are masters at, bring it back to fix it and restore it and keep it.
Yeah, there was definitely preservation at hand. And that's where I think it wasn't just Vault-Tec that knew that this was going to happen.
No, right? Like everybody.
Vault-Tec.
All those companies.
Right. That's something. Vault-Tec can't launch nuclear missiles. So who can launch nuclear missiles? The government. The military. Obviously, like, you're going to lose people in that whole regime as well because of the missiles, but like, they still know, or like certain people from that realm are going to know what's happened. So yeah, maybe seeing more of that and more involvement. Again, I don't know if that's getting like too diluted or like, you know,
I mean, that's stuff that you could show through flashbacks again, you know?
Oh, 100%. So
that'd be cool.
You know, and again, if that means you give us another episode or two, then so be it. Like,
make it 10.
You fully flesh out these seasons with these episodes. And, you know, it's like, I know for a show like this, it might be hard to give 10 one-hour episodes. But if we still got 10 45-minute episodes of, like, actual episode film, not 45 minutes, but seven minutes of that is credits, like, I'd be okay with that, because if you're giving us a lot, not like explaining, you know, but just if you're giving us a lot, the more you give, the better we receive.
Right. Don't be dumb.
Right. Don't give us
40. Because look at Disney, we get watered down stories of what it's supposed to be, and we're like, ah, I guess that's it after 8 episodes. So stupid. Make it 10 minimum. Can we get some kind of SAG rule about this? 10 episodes minimum. TV.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
'Tis better to give than receive. So Amazon, give us fully mapped out seasons and episodes that are at least 10 episodes in length now.
Minimum.
I know we're just going to be disappointed. So, but we have to just put it out there in the universe. We'll see what happens. So,
and then God forbid someone comes out with another 5 episode season. Like, why even waste our time?
Yeah, no.
Jeez.
If it's under 8, just don't do it. Just wait a whole other year and
give us another 5.
Yeah.
Because I don't even want it.
Yeah.
50 minutes, maybe.
You know, I'll give one exception to a show and then we'll wrap it up. When we watched Stranger Things season 4.
Okay, well,
that was an exception.
Okay. Explain why it's an exception.
Exactly. I'm glad you asked.
Because it's a movie, man. It's 2.5 hours, right? Or 2 hours?
Yeah, the last episodes were basically a whole movie. And
I remember we watched the last two.
It was like, yeah, we watched
separate occasions.
Yeah, so the Netflix released like the first 7 episodes all at once, and that was like the last 2 episodes are coming like 2 months later.
And then it's like, dang it, we gotta wait. And then you realize, like, we found out a couple weeks later, it's like, oh wait, they're like the length of actual movies.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're actually getting like a whole, you know, extended edition Lord of the Rings film type movie
different.
Between
if
episodes.
You're
right.
If you're gonna do,
you're giving
you're
us
less
like
than 8, make them 2 hour long.
Right, so you're giving us like 12 hours worth of a you know, a whole, you know, season here. You know, it's like, I think the finale, I think like episode 7 alone was an hour and 45 minutes. Like, the last show that I remember that did that were the Sherlock episodes from the BBC that had Benedict Cumberbatch.
Same thing though. Those were four or five episodes.
Three episodes,
but each one was what, 2 hours?
Yeah, basically. See? Yeah.
There you go.
So there's 6 hours of content in 3 hours.
That's pushing it, but still, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it, but it worked well, obviously. Oh, yeah, it's the most liked, I think, version of it.
Yeah. I've been meaning to go back and watch them. I just don't know where they're streaming right now, and I don't have them.
BBC, what is that? That's Disney?
No, I don't think Disney has access to that.
Paramount.
Maybe Paramount? I wonder if I could just buy them on iTunes.
Yeah, you could.
I might do that. So, but case in point, I think everyone should see the series Fallout, unless you just don't like, you know, nuclear apocalypse type shows, and I understand because it can be dark and it can be gloomy, but you know, at the end of the day, it is just a show.
Yeah,
fiction.
And if you want a good show to watch, just watch it.
Yeah,
it's good. I mean, from the very first scene, you know, you're hooked.
Yep.
So, and that's with playing the games, but still, even without playing the games,
that's a perfect example. When Cooper is doing what he's doing, it's like, well, you never see the fall from that happening. Like,
no.
how he kind of tumbles from success to doing birthday parties for kids.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be something awesome to see in season two.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
One thing I'll say before we wrap it up, Walter Coggins actually, when he got cast, he's like, if it's okay with, because they asked him if he played the game,
mm-hmm.
he's like, if it's okay, I don't want to. And I think I may have sent it to you on Instagram, maybe, but it was just such a, like, a real moment. He goes, he's like, I'm actively not going to take part of this huge thing that everyone is so that we keep a foot on the ground, you know, basically to be that person that asks those questions. And I just thought it was, like, awesome to do. I mean, it sucks. We'll never get around to it, but it's okay.
I think for him, it wouldn't make sense for him to play a video game, like all of them, or just even like one or two of them. But what I think someone should have just maybe done is like, here are the cliff notes. And that's it.
Yeah, because
just,
you don't really have to go too crazy into detail about it.
Right, exactly. So, and that's just from a, you know, an acting perspective to be in the show. But, you know, not everyone can be Henry Cavill and want to stick to the source material and try to give us, you know, diehard fans what we want to see. But, you know, I digress.
We love Henry Cavill.
Yep. He's a man of the nerds. He's not just a man of the people. He's just a man of the nerds.
You're man of the people.
And the nerds, yeah. So what about a rating? I totally forgot what we said before, so this is sort of a fresh take.
I'm going to give it a 94.
94.
Yeah. Because to me, as someone who has put in 130 hours into Fallout 4 and damn near 13 into Fallout 76 in the last week and a half, it nails the feeling that you get while playing the game.
Yeah.
So to me, it was it was damn near perfect. So I loved it. Just not long enough.
Right. I would probably give it maybe at least a 90. But I think if I go up a little bit, I might go like 92%.
Okay.
90, 92, somewhere in there. And again, just because we're getting a season two, so and we'll see if season two is better than season one, but if that's the case, then, you know, again, it could, you know, propel season one to be better or worse, or same thing, season two could be not as good, and then basically you realize that, man, season one was actually super, super solid. So that kind of, like, you know, I might actually change my rating for season one to be a little bit higher, and then season two could be underneath that. You know, it's like, well, you know what? Season two is about a 90. So since season one was better, I'm gonna make season one a little bit higher than season two, something along those lines. But
only time will tell.
Yep, time will tell. Until then, it is time for you to, and by you I mean you lovely listeners out there, to share with your friends, share with your family, share on your social media platforms and whatnot, your messages. Find us on X at Plot Strikes Back.
No, the.
We're on Apple Podcast. Yeah, obviously, if you're listening to this, we're probably on one of the streaming platforms that you like to listen to. So, yeah, some people that have iPhones and want to send Apple Podcasts, send it over to them. If they have got Androids and they listen to Spotify or, you know, Google or Amazon, send them that over there.
Yep.
We're on RSS feeds, whatever. We're on everything.
Spam your friends, families, and enemies with the podcast.
Yep. Till then, we've got a couple fun things in the lineup that are a little mad. That's your key. Here's your key right there. Things are going to be a little mad in the upcoming episodes. So you'll just have to stay tuned and have those alerts on, notifications and whatnot. And that'll do it for the two of us here on
The Plot. 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 The Plot.